Hey guys, it's Nick from Game Time. Thanks for listening to our podcast and stream online and on the app. Just remember, it's still radio, 1620 The Zone AM radio. So please remember, all the time you spend listening to 1620 The Zone AM radio, remember, 1620 The Zone AM radio.
A crossover is...
crossover dribble.
Same for the crossover.
Kyrie Irving, crossover in the lane.
One of the most famous crossovers of all time.
Behind the back, an ankle breaker on Chris Paul.
Crossover continues to evolve.
All right, Tiger is done.
Okay, I've been kind of immersed in like my own thing here. He double bogeyed the first. How did, give me like the quick synopsis on how today went. Have you guys been paying attention?
I'm trying to figure out. I think he's messing with you. What do you mean he's done?
He's
not on the leaderboard. He's not in it first.
He was one. When, last check, he was one.
He's one over through 12.
One over through 12, and Brooks is at minus -5.
Did he get to 5? If he did, he just did it.
He is 5 under.
Give me a sense on what'll win. What, because that's always like, what number wins it?
He said 9 under. I said 7.
So is he like where? I'm always, because there, I'm not gonna lie. I was concerned at the Masters that he was too far back. Like, probably the first day, Thursday and half of Friday, he finished. If memory serves, didn't he have a really good back nine?
Back
on
nine,
Friday?
Yeah. Kept him kind of
in it.
Gave him some momentum. Yeah, gave him some momentum. But here's the thing: it's who's at the top.
Yeah.
Do you feel like they'll come back to the pack?
And I don't feel like Brooks.
Koepka doesn't strike me as the type of dude that's gonna
come. Is he a? I mean, because we've seen Rory and Spieth like have a little flash. Like this dude feels better than Rory and Spieth.
Well, he's so powerful, I mean, and technically sound. He's not like Rory where everybody breaks down all the hiccups in his swing and tells you how good his putter isn't. Like with Koepka, they say, well, I wish he cared about more tournaments other than majors.
Right, yeah.
You know, right? Isn't that like, kind of the consensus? Right.
Because you have a better chance to win at the majors because the field is lessened.
Sure.
Even though there might be 156 golfers, realistically, being generous, you have maybe 20 to 25 that could win the PGA Championship.
Right.
And he believes he's one of them.
No,
plus, mentally,
no doubt.
Mentally, I don't think a lot of things rattle him. I think he's got a little chip on his shoulder, but he doesn't overthink things. You listen to him break down his game. He is about as simple as you can be as a top-level golfer.
Yeah, he's got a...
remember a couple years ago when I asked if he, like... I'm like, gosh, I wonder how much he likes golf.
Right.
Because he doesn't give you that impression.
He doesn't look like he is. Everything about him doesn't feel like a golfer. But like what you said, he's got a really compact, simple swing where not a lot can go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a compact, simple mindset that feels like not a lot can go wrong.
He is an explosive son of a gun. Oh, we talked about the first people, you know, they would email. And when we kind of got on this Koepka thing a couple years ago, and it was like, well, that's the guy that needs to be tested. And then he's got the bodybuilding or the body image issue, and he's got like 25 pounds, and he still looks like he could hit it a mile. But the most consistent thing about him is he's the guy, remember, that Tiger waited for at the cabin to give some love to, and then vice versa.
Right.
He did it with Tiger. He appears to be a pretty likable dude.
Yeah, I think those two guys... I think Tiger really respects Brooks.
He like, and he gives his interviews and stuff. He talks about his family, and it's just like he doesn't get caught up in the other stuff.
Right, right. He just, I guess for me, I'm a little, I'm not the best start you can imagine. And not necessarily the fact that Tiger's won over, but who's at 5 under right now?
Yeah, and
because you don't feel like he's about to.
Well, and you got some bigger names that don't tee off until the afternoon.
True.
But they're saying, and I'm reading the, I had the closed captioning on, you want it to start in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's supposed to get a little tougher as.
As the day wears on.
Yeah. So maybe you want it to start in the morning.
I don't know. I mean, all I know was when Thursday ended at Augusta, I didn't necessarily feel great about Tiger and look how that played out, but different course, totally. You know what I mean? Like just everything about it's different. So. It's hard to tell.
These fairways look like our hallways. Is that just me, or is that how it's...
They do.
Don't they? They just look long and narrow.
I know.
It doesn't look like a ton of fun.
No. I mean, Bethpage is brutal.
in a lot of different ways.
So how's he at 5 under?
I don't know.
He's crushing it. You watch him on Shot Tracker.
Yeah.
He, like him, DJ, and Bubba Watson, guys that hit it long, they're crushing off the tee.
Yeah. Yeah, he, I mean, that's what, well, okay. Geez, he's had an eventful day.
But now on the back nine,
look at this guy. He's birdied 2 out of his last 3. Well, this is real time.
Just give me Sunday with Vern talking about Tiger, and I'm good.
I heard, so yesterday I was meeting with the guys at Austad's, and they gave me a great little anecdote. They anytime someone schedules a custom club fitting, they get like an alert mm-hmm. kind of a thing. And they're sitting there on Sunday at Augusta, and I think they both kind of thought like, "Oh man, here we go. This is good." And it was quiet. It was quiet. It was quiet. It was quiet all the way up until, you know, makes the putt. It ends, and then they said literally about a half hour after that, it was like ding, 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 ding.
Going to get some new clubs. Going to get some new clubs.
Where he still, because that's one of the, I was like, does he still, you know, like, does he still move, yep. move it like that?
Didn't he shut down Nike's golf?
Yeah. Nike's golf. Now you're like, we're done.
But I wonder if not so much the case of, you remember when he first broke through, you would go out to golf and it'd be every time Dick and Harry had come out of the woodwork to try and play golf. And he also reached younger kids from the inner city to go play golf.
Yeah.
I remember the late Steve Hogan here in town
mm-hmm.
would talk about the impact of Tiger with inner city kids that wanted to learn how to play golf. I think what he did last month got those people that had kind of drifted away from golf. All right, I'm back engaged.
Right.
Instead of getting the new golfer.
It's a different deal now because he's not new, but nevertheless the impact is still there.
And I think the impact probably with this Tiger is bigger because now he's making a move in an age where gambling has taken golf to a higher level across the world.
Do you see someone put 10 G's on him 10 to 1?
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead. Hey, how about this? Real quick before I let you guys roll. Payne, my guy.
Yeah.
His group, he didn't wouldn't tell me the amount. They got the Bucks at 70 to 1 to win the NBA championship before the season, and they threw a ton on it.
No way.
Guys, 70 to 1.
I don't care if it was just 100.
What? Like, can you believe 70 to 1? He said it opened at 100 to 1, and it quickly moved to 70 to 1.
And they nabbed it?
And they... And do you know, I didn't realize, their regular season win total was 48.
Yep. Yeah.
So
we went back. I
everybody
go back
kind
to
of whiffed
this,
on those dudes.
Well, I go back to the. Remember, we talk to D Hop every Friday, and he loves the NBA. And
yeah.
As soon as the Bucks hired Budenholzer,
yeah.
I asked D Hop, could I convince him that the Bucks will be the best team in the East and not the Celtics or the Raptors? And he's like, that's interesting. I really like his offensive mind. They're going to be fun to watch.
Right.
We didn't know 60-some-odd wins later.
They were a team that was like trending. Yeah. You know what I mean? But yeah. I don't know if anyone – I didn't see
Bro, they won a game last night in which Bledsoe didn't score 5. He scored 5 of his 9 points in the last 3 minutes.
Yeah. Here's sometimes the marks of good teams is they don't have to play well to win. They didn't play well last night.
Bledsoe and Middleton were 2 of 12 or 1 of 12 from behind.
Did you see the Nugget – all the Raptors not named Lowry were 0-for-15 from the floor in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Well, there are guys that just don't want the basketball.
What is with that?
They're all aggressive and all that,
and then the fourth comes and they're like, nah.
Sphincter puckering is a real
thing. It's a real thing. It's a real condition.
Hey, so you could give Budenholzer coach of the year, the guy that's running the front office for Milwaukee, GM of the year, constructing that roster, and then getting Brooke Lopez at $3.4 million on a one-year deal.
They just gave – like the Lakers just gave him away?
Pretty – don't – come on, man. We were doing so nice. Yeah. Here, take him. Okay.
This is Game Time with Nick Baugh.
It's 11 o'clock. Do you know where your children are?
I told you last night, no!
on 1620 The Zone, Zone app, and 1620thezone.com.
They say, what's your show about? I say nothing. There you go.
Live from the Next Gen Male Medical Clinic Zone Studios. Here's Nick Baugh.
And with that, we officially say hello. We are on quite, we're like three straight days of gorgeous weather here, dude. I mean, gorgeous. Just gorgeous weather.
I left the sleeves at
yeah,
home.
Yeah, gun, sun's out, guns out
yep.
for George today.
Shout out to Farrell's.
Shout out to Farrell's. I love it. But man, just three straight days of beautiful weather. Feeling good. Tiger on the TV screen here at the PGA Championship. He is heated up here in this back nine, birdied two of his last three holes, and he's now under par. He trails Brooks Koepka by four, is what things are looking like right now for Mr. El Tigre as he looks now. I always felt like, man, if he could get that 15th major championship, then getting to 18 would feel a whole heck of a lot like that. First one was always going to be the hardest to get for him. And he got that under his belt. And he's now, it doesn't feel like in some ways, now granted the PGA Championship moved up to this time this year. So it that's why it kind of feels like it crept up on you. But there doesn't feel like there's like this, just the dynamic around Tiger in this major. And I get we're only 2-3 hours into this major championship. It doesn't feel the same. It doesn't feel like there's that elephant in the room. Can he do it? Can he do it? Will he do it? Can he do it? Well, he's done it, you know? Like, there's just a little bit of that weight off, for lack of a better term, with Tiger as he's just out there playing. So, yeah, he's leaderboard is Koepka in the lead, and then Fleetwood, Luke List, Matt Wallace, then Tiger, and, you know, Ricky Fowler, Adam Scott, handful of people all at minus one. Again, Koepka is at minus five, so a four-shot lead at Bethpage Black for the PGA Championship. We'll keep you posted on all things Tiger and the PGA Championship as the show progresses. But, boy, I tell you, you know, I got a bunch of thoughts on what happened with Nebraska basketball again yesterday. I mean, we got to get into it. There's a bunch of different things to talk about. Because yesterday, by the way, we can kind of put a yesterday was the kind of the bookend of – yesterday was the end of the spring signing period for high school kids. So they can still get some transfers, but, like, in terms of high school kids, yesterday was it. But I got a bunch of thoughts I want to get into with that. But real quick, I mean, last night was really interesting where – I didn't really feel like either team played well, talking about Toronto and Milwaukee, game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. And I said this in the crossover, but I really mean this. One of the marks of a really, really good basketball team, one could even say a championship-level basketball team, is they can win when they don't play well. You know, there's certain teams you watch and it's like, you feel like they got to really play well to win. I know that sounds simple. And that sounds like, well, duh, you should always play. No, I mean, there's some teams that don't necessarily have to go out there and be clicking on all cylinders and have their star shining bright for them to win. And I thought Milwaukee was a prime example of that last night. They didn't play well. In the first half, they looked like, I don't know if sometimes too much time off is not a good thing. They almost looked like they were stuck in the mud. They were getting crushed on the offensive glass. They were slow in their defensive rotations to get to three-point shooters. I mean, in some ways, Milwaukee's lucky Toronto wasn't hotter in the first half, or that thing could have gotten out of control in the first half. I mean, for a while, it was like, geesh, Toronto's getting any clean shot they want right now. And if this was a boxing match, you would have scored the first three quarters, win for Toronto, win for Toronto, win for Toronto. But in the fourth quarter, boy, it was all Milwaukee. And now part of that was, Toronto just going into the tank. Raptors players not named Kyle Lowry went 0-15 in the fourth quarter. 0-15. And, you know, people talk about, you know, Kawhi Leonard didn't play well. Well, yeah, I mean, Kawhi, he didn't shoot it well. But you know who else didn't play well? Was Giannis. Yeah, Giannis didn't really play that good last night. But in all reality, the difference in the game was probably Brook Lopez. Goes for 29 points, knocking down big shots. I mean, without Brook Lopez, they wouldn't have won that game last night. But it's again, mark of a good team is one that can win even when they don't play well. Like, you kind of feel like, I don't know, I'm going in the way, like, you kind of feel like OKC has to play well to win. Does that make, like, if they don't play well, they not only do they lose, but sometimes they get rocked. Milwaukee, heck, there were even games in that Boston series where I didn't necessarily feel like, boy, they're playing great. It was like, they're just like, they're playing okay, and they're winning at Boston. It's a mark of a good team. Again, Tolliver told us yesterday, you know, he was like, they were the one team that Anthony, he has joined us every spring, summer to kind of talk NBA. And Anthony always gives this little anecdote. He goes, there's certain teams each year I get a feeling when I'm playing them. Like, they're just different. They're special. And he said Milwaukee was that team this year. And they're up 1-0. All right, we got tons of good stuff today. No Danny Woodhead today, but we're going to catch up with him tomorrow. But we do got the usual suspects of Kevin Kugler and Brian Munson on the program, both at 12:30 and 1:30 respectively. You can email the 1620 The Zone inbox, brought to you by Equitable Bank. We take banking personally, equitableonline.com. Nick at 1620thezone.com. Or hit me on the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed at Nick Baugh. 402-951-1620. We got to lay out everything here. Because I got a simple email question. I won't say what it pertains to, but is this normal? Is this kind of how it goes? And I'm going to tell you right now, the answer is no. And I'll lay that out when we come back.